Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? It's Thursday, July 11th. It's the week after the 4th of July. That means it's fantasy football season. You might not be drafting yet, but you know it as well as I do. It's fantasy football season. I know you were waiting for this podcast to come back out. I know. It's fantasy football season. So we should do some podcasts, huh? I mean, we're already doing a whole bunch of stuff over at ftnfantasy.com. You know I was going to plug the site, but I'm really proud of what we got going on. This year, the game plan draft guide is out. The cheat sheets are revised. You know, I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But hey, on the podcast today, you can see from the title, I want to talk about handcuffing. And I think this is a good time of year to really start to drill down on all the different strategies that we can use. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, do you or don't you handcuff? But I don't think it's that simple. Like, it's not complicated. Like, let's be real. This is fantasy football. But there are pros and cons. There are times where you should use it, times where you probably shouldn't use it. And then how do you use it over the course of the season, and when do you use it? You know, it's not just a draft strategy, actually. So we'll talk about that. But let me tell you really quickly what's going on over at ftnfantasy.com. This week, the game plan draft guide dropped on Monday. That's my personal draft guide. If you listen to this podcast, you probably read it in the past, or you at least know of it. This year, I decided something interesting. I had this revelation in the offseason, and here it is. You ready? Fantasy football's fun. I know a lot of people don't seem to think so, but I do. And I wanted to have more fun with it this year. Now, of course, you're going to get all the great information, 288 player profiles, all written by me, designed to really tell you who the player is. I'm not going to tell you he's going to be a wide receiver too. Like, no, who is he? So that you know on draft day who you're drafting, not just a name on a sheet of paper, but actually the player profile. So you get that, and it's in a pretty cool format. Malik Nabers on the cover, and if you've seen the cover, go to my Twitter if you haven't, at Jeff Ratcliffe. It's like comic book style. Like, we had fun with it this year. I wanted it to look fun. But I also break down draft strategies, a lot of the stuff that I'll talk about on this podcast, but in better detail, and again, in a fun way. It's a fun read. And then I tell you exactly what I'm going to do in drafts this year. And unlike in the past with my draft strategies, which in the past, I think my draft strategies may have been a little too complicated, maybe not for the masses. I think a lot more people could get down with this year because it's really different from how it looked in the past. But anyway, I also tell you how to adjust. If you're in a smaller league, like a shallower league, 10-team league, maybe even an 8-team league, or if you're in a bigger league, 14 or 16. And honestly, I think the adjustments go the exact opposite direction of what a lot of people would think. There's that. There's all the cheat sheets, brand new. Redesign the ultimate draft board. You used to call that 2.0. Just calling it the ultimate draft board because it doesn't get better than this thing. It's easier to use. You don't need an instruction manual this year to use it. I revised the positional cheat sheets. You actually have tiers on my positional cheat sheets and projections. You know, just the projected points, but still more information so that you can dominate on draft day. That plus so much more. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. So go to ftnfantasy.com. This week we have a sale. NFL15 is the promo code. 15% off. This week only, and it goes away. I mean, the week's almost up. So use it before you lose it. A lot of this, though, really comes down to, and the commercial's over, okay? A lot of this comes down to things that I've been learning over the years and things that I've been observing over the years. And one thing that I observed, and it does relate to what we're going to talk about today with handcuffs, but this happened a couple years ago. It was an FTN subscriber because it happened in Discord. And it's not a knock on this subscriber. It's more of like an example of, you know, something that we want to build off of and hopefully avoid, right? So I don't know, it was maybe week 4, week 5. I don't know exactly where it was in the season, but it wasn't too far in. And this person had A.J. Dillon on his roster. A.J. Dillon was on the Packers at the time. He was clearly Aaron Jones' handcuff that year. So he gets to week 4, week 5, whatever it is. He wants to cut this dude, A.J. Dillon. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, just out of curiosity, why did you draft him? Like, what was the plan to draft him? Because for every player, we don't just blindly select players, right? There has to be at least some kind of idea of what the plan is. This guy's locked in as a starter. This is a rookie who's going to come on in the second half of the season, so I'm prepared for him to ride the pine for a little bit. This dude has some juice from an upside standpoint, but he's also a bench player. Whatever it is, whatever the plan is, it doesn't have to be extensive. But what was the plan? Why did you draft this guy? And really, there were two reasons, two main reasons to draft him, right? The number one reason was you were handcuffing Aaron Jones. The number two reason was you were grabbing him, knowing he was Aaron Jones' handcuff, but just hoping, you know, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle if Aaron Jones goes down. But you know, in both instances, he's not a starter in week one, two, three, or four, right? Unless Aaron Jones gets hurt. The response, though, why'd you draft this dude? He said, because he was highest in rankings. So, in other words, that's not a reason to draft a guy. It was the fact of the matter at the time for this subscriber at FTN, but it wasn't a reason to draft the guy. And it was a really like eye-opening experience for me because I'm like, there's a lot of things I don't know. Like, I can't put myself in your shoes or anybody else's shoes, right? Like, I don't know what you know and what you don't know. And I don't know what I don't know oftentimes. And I didn't know that there were people who were literally just drafting based on rankings. And maybe I should have known that because I definitely did that 20 years ago. No doubt. But I didn't realize it at the time. And I was like, wow, I have to do a better job first and foremost of communicating like player profile. And then how do we actually draft on draft day? And how do we prepare for drafts, right? Like knowing the players, not just having a set of rankings. Like rankings right now on July 10th don't matter. I mean, I guess if you're in Scott Fishbowl, but otherwise, like you're not drafting for another month and a half. So they don't really matter. But knowing the players or knowing this dude is a handcuff, he will not have value unless the starter goes down. Like that's important information, right? And so that's like a lot of the stuff that I'm trying to do with the game plan, but a lot of stuff I'm trying to do in general right now to hopefully help you out here. It was really eye-opening, man. It was really eye-opening. And it does open up this conversation of handcuffing. And you know what handcuffing is, you know, unless this is like brand new for you. If you're just coming on board, you chose my podcast, wise decision. But, you know, either way, you're backing up your top running back. And really, it should only be the top running back because think about it this way. Like it's insurance. That's really what handcuffing is. And we want to insure valuable assets. Whether it's this or homeowners insurance or car insurance or whatever, these are valuable assets, so you insure them, right? If you're drafting a guy, a running back in the first round, that's valuable. Your first round pick is your most valuable pick. Second round, obviously still pretty valuable. Even like third round, sure. But even by the time we get there, things get a little dicey. After we get to that past that point, especially if you're like a zero or hero RB drafter where you're drafting running backs in like seventh, eighth, ninth rounds, you're not handcuffing those guys. Even if there is a backup who's clearly going to be the next man up, it's just they're not valuable enough for you to insure them. So obviously, like injury insurance is huge for your top guys. If you have Christian McCaffrey, Isaac Garendo is, you know, great insurance there. If McCaffrey goes down, we know this. We've already seen it. Garendo is the next man up now that Jordan Mason is gone. And he's not going to be McCaffrey, but he's going to be, what, a top 15 dude, right? You get guaranteed volume in that backfield. We know what Kyle Shanahan does. It's a run-heavy offense, too. It's a good spot. They're not every situation is going to be like that, but you know that's like a prime example right there. You also have that peace of mind of like, I don't have to, if my top running back goes down, I don't have to worry about fab or my waiver priority or any of that crap, right? There's no scramble. And there's a lot of juice with some of these running backs. Like Garendo has some serious juice as a cuff. He has no standalone value, but he has some serious juice. Like Tyler Allgeier is not Bijan Robinson, but Tyler Allgeier would get some heavy work if Bijan went down. Heck, even Raheem Mostert for like Gen T, I don't love it, But Raheem Mostert's an RB2 as long as he stays healthy. He's an RB2. He's not what Gen T is going to be, but you know, Raheem Mostert still has some ability even at his advanced age. So these are the considerations. Like, there are benefits, but it's not all pluses. There are certainly minuses. There are cons to handcuffing. Number one, when you handcuff, like it, let's say you drafted McCaffrey and Garendo. Garendo is not a human being as far as we're concerned for fantasy. I know I'm like minimizing this dude, but what I mean by that, he is McCaffrey. Like, they are one person. So you're taking up two roster spots with one person, because you're not going to start Garendo independently of McCaffrey. Like, you're not starting them both at the same time. This isn't Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, right? Garendo has no value unless McCaffrey goes down. So you're wasting a bench spot, which is valuable. Bench spots are really valuable in a lot of casual fantasy players, those who don't win a lot of leagues or rarely ever win a league, or you know, those who think that fantasy is about luck, they tend to waste their bench spots. Bench spots are prime real estate. And so you're wasting that roster spot. You don't diversify. Like, you could grab Garendo, or you know, like, who's going in the same range as Garendo like right now? It's relatively late for Garendo. He's, yeah, RB 47. Okay, this is actually a great example. Jaden Blue is going like two spots after him. Not that Jaden Blue is going to be a starter early in the season either, but there's a lot of upside with him. There's downside, of course. Where there's upside, there's downside. But you don't get to take a shot at a guy like that if you're handcuffing with Garendo, right? You don't have that diversification. And you can't stash guys. You know, you have less roster flexibility. And again, like, from a start-sit standpoint, like, you're not starting both of those dudes. You're not starting Garendo with McCaffrey. You're going to take a lump there. So, you know, again, it's sort of like, you know, wasted bench spot, wasted flexibility. It does hurt the roster. So there's pluses and minuses. Like, I don't want to sit here and be like, yo, you have to handcuff, or yo, you should never handcuff. Like, I don't think it's one or the other. And I think there are circumstances where it does work. Like, if you're invested in McCaffrey or Bijan, like these top guys, then yes, it does make a lot of sense to handcuff. There, of course, is one caveat here. The bench has to be deep enough. So when I think about bench size, here's how I quantify it. Like, I think that you should have at least 75% of the bench spots for your starting skill guys. And that sounded fancy, but here's what it really means. Let's say you have a quarterback, two running backs, three wideouts, a tight end, and a flex. That's eight skill position starting spots. 75% of that is six bench spots. That's what I mean. 75 to 100%. So if you have six bench spots, you're in a normal size league. If you have eight bench spots for, you know, one for every starting skill guy, you're in a little bit of a deeper league. Normal, you can get away with it. I don't love it. A deeper league, yes, you can absolutely get away with it. And I would strongly recommend it for your top guys. But there's another point in time when you could also handcuff. Like, let's say you're in a normal size bench league. You don't draft Garendo. You have McCaffrey. You have six bench spots. You're like, nah, I'm not going to draft him. I'm going to risk it. And then you get to like week 12 or so. You're careening towards the fantasy playoffs. And it's apparent that you're going to make the playoffs. And wouldn't you know it, somebody in your league drops Garendo. Well, now it's time to pick him up. Protect your asset for the postseason. It's not just a draft strategy. It's a strategy you could use at another point in the season as well. You know, that depth there. But if you're in a shallow bench league, if you're in a four bench spot league, you cannot afford to waste one of those bench spots on a handcuff. And I'm not a fan of four bench spot leagues because they really limit the skill factor. You know, like if I'm more skilled than somebody else, or you're more skilled than somebody else, let's put you in the hot seat right now. You're more skilled than your opponents, right? You draft really effectively. Your four bench spots are taken up. You cannot drop those dudes. But because there are fewer players rostered, there's more players on waivers. So you have some slappy in your league who was, you know, hammer drunk halfway through the draft, drafted a terrible team, and now they're able to make up ground on you because they actually have players to drop in your four bench spot league. That's not skill. That's them benefiting from the format itself. Like, that's luck, if anything. So shallow bench leagues are really problematic. But anyway, you need all those bench spots. Now, the backfield could be unclear. The situation could be a little bit unclear as to who the handcuff is. So then you may not handcuff as well. Like, I don't really know. I wouldn't call A.J. Dillon Saquon Barkley's handcuff, but I also wouldn't call Will Shipley his handcuff. Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't really have a handcuff because, as I noted earlier, David Montgomery's, he's a 1A. He's not a handcuff. That's a full-blown timeshare backfield. Derrick Henry maybe is Justice Hill, and I don't love that, but I mean, maybe there's a case to be made, but it's not that clear. You know, some of these situations aren't clear. The Cincinnati backfield behind Chase Brown is a bit of a mess. Like, some of these are really clear. Kyron Williams is actually, we'll figure it out if it's Blake Corum or Jarquez Hunter. Jacobs, it should be Marshawn Lloyd. Bucky Irving, it's Rashad White. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, I guess it's Khalil Herbert at this point. You know, they did draft the position though too. Achan, it's Wright. McCaffrey, we've already talked about. Gentee, we talked about. Bijan, we talked about. Like, those are your top 12 dudes. Maybe James Cook we can toss in there too, and it's Ray Davis, right? Pretty straightforward with a lot of them. But some of them aren't clear, so maybe you don't handcuff. Maybe you don't do so. Maybe you don't handcuff because you'd rather use the bench spot elsewhere, right? It's not black and white, and there are a lot of considerations to be made. And I don't think you can really make those considerations largely until draft day, when the draft is actually happening. But you just have to know all the things I just mentioned, all the different factors at play. Now, one other thing I want to say before I jump out of here today. Handcuffing is a strategy that once you start it, you really should stick with it. I see a lot of people who, you know, they go into a draft and they handcuff almost as if, like, just to say, like, yo, did you see I got Garendo? You know, I got the handcuff. And then 3 weeks later, they cut the handcuff. Like, so they didn't actually handcuff. They just drafted Garendo and then dropped him. Because really, to truly handcuff, if you drafted the handcuff, then that dude stays on your roster as long as the starter is on your roster. So if McCaffrey's there, then Garendo's there. It is a full season-long commitment at that point, or unless you traded McCaffrey or something like that. And a lot of people don't do that. So you're not actually handcuffing if you take that approach. Like, literally, the player does not exist on your roster to drop. You have to keep him there because that's your insurance. A lot of mistakes with handcuffing. But it's not a clear, like, you should always do it or you should never do it. There are a lot of instances where, yes, it does make sense. There are a few where it absolutely does not make sense, including, like, the short bench league. Can't do it there. Can't do it if there isn't a clear handcuff. But in a lot of instances, it does make sense. Now, what I like to do is I'll move that player up. If I'm using my ultimate draft board, if I drafted McCaffrey, I'm going to go to my draft board. I'm going to move Garendo up like two rounds or so. If I'm using overall rankings, move him up about 25 rankings or so. Ranking spots, just to make sure that I get him and I'm not sniped on him. Nothing worse than being sniped on a handcuff late in a draft. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for today. Remember, ftnfantasy.com. Go check that out first and foremost. Use the promo code NFL15 for 15% off through this week here. So this week, right after the 4th of July, we're celebrating the kickoff of fantasy football draft season. And make sure you're following along with me on Twitter, X, whatever the heck you want to call it, @JeffRatcliffe. And I'll catch you on the flip.